Nick Nuss, Gutierrez, Dennis Plaschke.
Hello.
I think about this with you guys sometimes. You have a beautiful analytical answer and you get it, but who you got, you drop the ball on. Sometimes the easy ones are hard, sometimes the hard ones are easy. Also, whether one day after throwing the tantrum of the decade, you can say, I've learned from it, yes.
Best thing that ever happened to him. He learned he needs to do it again.
He got during that.
I love that moment.
The little hand blocking the camera is my favorite. So. Cowboys 23, Giants 16. 2 hours of field goals, and then finally the semblance of offense and good defense in the second half. CeeDee Lamb was dropping everything. But then he made two huge plays late, and the touchdown ballet was beautiful. Cowboys 2-0 with Cooper Rush. Bill, 2-1 is a good place. I think we can all agree. Are they in a real place? What's your takeaway on these Dallas Cowboys?
It's a real place. Cooper Rush, the second quarterback in the Super Bowl era to win his first three games with fourth quarter comebacks.
Is
Cooper
that
Rush
right?
Missed on one pass during the three scoring drives in the fourth quarter that gave them the win. Cooper Rush lets everybody know it's okay if Dak Prescott is hurt for a little while. Take his time getting back. And the defense was unbelievable. 24 pressures, the most in the NFL this year. 5 sacks. They were all over the Giants. The Cowboys are in a really, really good spot with a backup. Winning the game and a backup quarterback on the road, are you kidding me? Big win.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper. David Dennis Jr., how about you?
Yeah, for me, the takeaway is that offensive line. When Tyron Smith went out before the season started, we were all spelling doom about that offense and what was going to happen. It looked like it was coming to fruition when they played Tampa Bay. But this rookie, Tyler Smith, has filled in. He only allowed one pressure last night. The Cowboys have only allowed one sack since that week one. They're at 5.9 yards per carry last night. And if you put Dak Prescott right there behind that line where he can make more plays, I think that it changed the trajectory of what we thought for them at the beginning of the season.
Wow, 2 wins with Cooper Rush. I'm asking, not are they in a good place, are they for real? Israel Gutierrez, your answer.
I think they're for real, and it's not necessarily because of Cooper Rush. I mean, it's because, you know, David Dennis mentioned the offensive line. Well, that running game is legitimate. Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott finally having sort of a breakthrough game here. And look, you talk about that defense with Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence. Like, that's what's going to win them games, is consistently keeping their team in it and keeping Cooper Rush being able to either hand it off or make plays out of play action. That's sort of the best situation you want to be in if you're a backup quarterback, is have a great defense, have a strong running game, strong offensive line, and just don't mess up. And obviously you get lost Amari Cooper, you lost Wilson, you didn't have their tight end today, had to go to CeeDee Lamb a lot, and even with him dropping the ball early, still had the confidence in him late. I just think that this is a team made up to win this season, and with Dak Prescott back, I think they're, you know, make
this is blowing my mind. So that's three telling me they are for real. Monica McNutt, I turn to you.
I gotta admit, the Cowboys look pretty good. The thing that I took away last night was definitely the defense. I mean, Micah Parsons has 2 pressures. He had 15 in the first 2 weeks combined. He wasn't necessarily his full strength self. 5 sacks, 5 pressure breakups. I get it, blah, blah, blah. However, let's talk about their schedule, because the Eagles and the Rams are looming after they get past Dallas next week. And so I'm not ready to say that they are the crown of the NFC, but this is a team that looks pretty complete.
Mm-hmm. This is blowing my mind, honestly, that everybody from Overreaction Monday, when the question was, are they done? Through 2 weeks now, where they won the game last night against Daniel Jones and the Giants, and they're for real, David Dennis Jr., please plead your case again.
Well, I mean, I think they're for real as long as Dak Prescott comes back healthy. I think that's going to be the determining factor. But, you know, that's really what makes the difference, how he looks when he comes back. But right now, a TBD, yes, for real.
Joe Plaschke, last word. You can't TBD
you
for real.
You can't overstate the importance of a backup quarterback on a team with an injury-prone quarterback like Dak Prescott. Having this is like an MVP position Cooper Rush is playing. And if he can guide them at least a little bit throughout the rest of the season, they're going to be hard to beat. They were impressive.
The New York Football Giants, their first loss. Saquon Barkley is going right this season. We know that. Some of the penalties went wrong for the team yesterday. Brian Daboll, first-year coach, gives great apoplectic when penalties happen. Is anybody feeling a buzz back in New York? David, are you?
I mean, I'm feeling a buzz about Daniel Jones. Like, this was, we're going to focus on the sacks. He only had 196 yards, but he actually looked better than he's looked in a long time. There were a few passes, two bad drop passes in that fourth quarter. There was a horrible pass interference call that, should have made that game closer, would have made his performance a lot better. But with that said, as good as he's playing, it only highlights how bad that wide receiving core is and what that front office needs to do. They haven't had a Pro Bowl wide receiver since 2016. That front office needs to do something to help this quarterback.
Well, they thought they did, right? They paid Kenny Golladay big money to be that guy, and that has not worked out. And they're also losing Sterling Shepard now for the season with the torn knee ligament. Israel Gutierrez, please.
Yeah, it was a short-lived buzz there because their wins against the comeback wins against the Titans and then the win against the Panthers aren't really indicative of a very good team. And you look at this team against Dallas, against that intimidating defense, and Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, while they had, decent games. I mean, LeBron even tweeted, Saquon's back, I think maybe a little prematurely. But they don't have that explosion. They don't have the ability, obviously, with these wide receivers and Shepard now out. And I think with Daniel Jones, while he does have the athleticism, some straight-line speed, I don't know about him getting out of the pocket and his maneuverability in there. It just feels like this is going to be one more sort of lost season for the Giants as they assess Saquon, as they assess Jones, and see what happens. But that sort of buzz might have been just a 2 weeks.
So everybody loves the Cowboys after this win. And the Giants, they could have had this game, Monica. The fans were in it. This is something we haven't seen from New York in a half a decade.
New York is thrilled about this team. Okay, last night aside, if on the flip side, we open this conversation about how for real the Cowboys is, if you look at their schedule, they got the Bears coming up. Like, it's an opportunity to sort of bounce back. Last night was a tough performance, absolutely. But you look ahead, there's a couple games that they could still and have something good or have good time to evaluate Daniel Jones as they look ahead.
So you still think we're in Daniel Jones evaluation period? Bill Plaschke, how about you? When you think of a team, starts out 2-0, Daniel Jones has moments in every game, it seems, but it's a give and a take.
I was very disappointed. I was charged up about the game early, then I realized Daniel Jones is 0-for-9 in primetime games. He's never won a primetime game. Their offensive line, since 2010, they haven't drafted. None of the first-round draft picks are still with the team. Kenny Golladay has been terrible. So Saquon Barkley is back. Sometimes he's not. I think by the end of the game, I was disappointed thinking this is more of the same old Giants. I was excited for a while, but I think there's so much personnel problems. They have so many sins of the past. They got a good head coach now, but it's going to take them a while to get this figured out.
Some of those penalties were just backbreakers in the drop of the pass. Oh, all right. Yesterday, we did AFC Power Rankings. Everybody still had Buffalo, which didn't surprise me, but I mean, Miami did get the win this week. Kansas City is in play. In the NFC, now that the Giants have fallen from the ranks of undefeated Israel, go ahead.
Well, the NFC, I think, the Eagles are probably the top of the heap right now. Obviously undefeated. Jalen Hurts with some weapons and his running ability and that defense. It just seems like they're probably the most complete team right now. After them, you've got to throw in, the Cowboys. You got to throw in the Buccaneers, I think, just because of that defense. And I think the Minnesota Vikings and probably the top of that second tier, the Los Angeles Rams. Those are, I think, the five.
Oh, so the Rams are a second tier. And by the way, were you looking at notes when you said that? Like, you had to remind yourself what teams are in the NFC?
Look, a list past, if you got to do a list past three, you always have to have something you can look down.
Monica McNutt, your power rankings.
He's looking at notes. That's against the rules. He can't look at notes, Tony. You got to penalize him for that. That's as old as the show is.
Look, I know we love Jalen Hurts and he's answering all these questions. We're 3 weeks in. This is a team that hasn't even had to score in the second half of a ball game yet. I got to see how they respond to some adversity. For me, past success is an indicator of future success. I'm still looking at the Buccaneers. They've been injured. They've got Tom Brady. They've got a stout defense. Slow your roll on the Eagles a little bit, people.
Bill Plaschke.
Izzy, the Rams are second tier. Wrong. The Rams are still champions until proven otherwise. They just went into Arizona and held the Cardinals to no touchdowns. Matthew Stafford won a game. He didn't throw a touchdown pass for the first time as a Ram. His fewest completions as a Ram or pass attempts as a Ram. They can win many ways. They have a great defense. The Rams are slow to get it together, but they're getting it together. The Rams are still the class of the NFC.
David Dennis Jr.
All right, no TBD here. We're going Eagles. They are the best team in the NFC. They're
Thank
the class
you for no
NFC.
TBD. Thank you.
No TBD. There are some concerns, though, even though there's no TBD. The teams right below them, Tampa Bay, Green Bay, I would say even Dallas, Los Angeles, all have superior front lines. And I want to see what Jalen Hurts does under pressure. He only had a 75 QB rating under pressure last season. But if we can make that jump, I think, you know, they can sustain that
top. Here's your last word.
Here's where I will slow my roll on the Eagles. Jalen Hurts for MVP. Who's top of the league in QBR? That would be Tua Tagovailoa. So I will slow my roll there.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's a homer pick.
Taking a break here.
It's okay.
What? Let me look at my notes.
QBR says what it says.
NBA Media Day was yesterday. Plaschke worked it. Gutierrez worked it. Monica worked it. If it's worth it, let us work it and buy or sell.
Wait a second. I didn't get
it. Wait a second. Whoa, what is that? Whoa.
Oh, you know, we wanted to do something different.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
There was a level of uncertainty of what this was going to look like of me coming back, and I had questions. They were answered truthfully, and that's all I needed.
Just a lot of uncertainty, which built some doubt in my mind about the next 4 years of my career. I mean, I'm getting older, and I want to be in a place that's stable, and trying to build a championship culture, so.
Around the horn to Monica McNutt. What do you buy, what do you sell from Irving and Durant and Nets Media Day yesterday?
I buy that they are gonna do their best to make this thing work. I think both of them know the uncertainty that surrounded their return to the Nets, but here they are. If KD buys that it's now stable enough and he's there, I think he's a guy that truly wants to play basketball. And Kyrie by now should know that he has the ability to stabilize as well. So I think if the two of them are on the same page, we might finally see what they're capable of.
Israel Gutierrez, you buy in the Nets that they can be stable, that they can work together uncertainly, certainly?
No, I'm selling it. I mean, so far, everything about this team has been a failure. The big three has been a failure. The attempt at last year's, you know, playoff attempts was a failure. Kevin Durant's trade request was a failure. And now you're supposed to expect them to be all together and happy-go-lucky and be unified when a lot of these problems that cropped up over the last couple of years probably still could. There's still questions about Steve Nash internally and his coaching ability. So I don't think there's any sort of obvious winning season for a great season for the
Monica, team. You want back in, but not yet. David Dennis Jr.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm selling all of this. Media Day, you hear words like excited, happy to be here. Kevin Durant said not disappointed. It was just like he couldn't get a trade yet, and he just happened to, you know, show up to work because that's what he had to do. And what's worse is Kyrie Irving, who seems to be even further off the deep end, and he used words like cluster F and awkward, and this seems more combustible than even it was last season.
And Bill Plaschke.
Yeah, everything Kevin Durant said was a problem. It's still a problem. He didn't say they fixed anything. He didn't say he's happy to be there or because it was all roses. No, it's a mess there. I still think he's got something against Kyrie. I think because Kyrie was part of the distraction last year. They got to work it out. Simmons is not ready. It's a mess.
All right, Monica, back in.
Okay, everything that was an issue last year isn't completely an issue. Kyrie is back. I really do think that it's about these two guys being able to work it out. Blame me for being optimistic, but they were a big part of the problem. They could be a big part of the solution.
Monica, not disappointed with Media Day for the Brooklyn Nets. You know, everybody on this team has talked about it like a marriage, right? And sometimes you get in fights and you have to come back together.
Exactly.
Yeah, all right. Buy or sell too. Celtics Suns with their media availability yesterday.
Just caught off surprise. Nobody really knows anything. So we're just in the wind just like everybody else.
Obviously, things haven't gone the way we expected, but like I said, that's life. So the best thing you could do is move on.
I think I'm in agreement with selling a team. I think that's the best outcome for everyone involved. The players, the fans, the staffers, everyone that was impacted on so many levels.
David, of course, the Udoka and the Sarver situations aren't similar. I mean, they're wildly different. But how do you hear that, and how do you consider off the court when it comes to affecting on the court for these two teams?
Yeah, I'm hearing players who are deeply affected by this. The Celtics seem shell-shocked by this this recent news, and the Suns seem genuinely hurt. And when I hear these players, I can't help but think about the people who are actually hurt by this, who don't have microphones, the women in the Celtics organizations who were plastered across social media, the people who are victims directly of Sarver's attacks, who, you know, cannot speak for themselves. So those are the people who are, I'm thinking about, and I'm glad the players tried to highlight them also.
On the spot, though, do you believe off the court will affect on the court for both of these teams, either of these teams, David? You project a come down for Boston and Phoenix?
I think Boston more so. I mean, they have to adjust to a whole new coach. I mean, I think it's going to impact them on the floor the most. The Suns are a little bit more far removed from an
owner. Bill Plaschke.
Yeah, my heart goes out to everyone who was victimized or made uncomfortable by this. But the question is, how is it going to affect the Suns and the Celtics? The Suns, not so much. They don't play for the owner. The Celtics affected deeply. They play for the coach. The coach is gone. They seem confused. You can hear it in their voices. This is going to be a long year in Boston.
Monica McNutt, you see it that way?
Yeah, I completely agree with Plaschke. And I think having covered the Celtics last year through the finals run, I genuinely, when Marcus Smart says they don't know what's going on, I'm sure they were shocked. I mean, Jaylen Brown is being hung out there as a trade piece, and now all of a sudden you got a new coach. Like, it's just wild in Boston.
Israel Gutierrez.
Yeah, I'm in agreement there. If you remember last year, this team needed Ime Udoka to bring them together after a tumultuous early month or two, and he really did. And some of those problems could still crop up again, and will they be able to sort of settle them without him on the sideline? We don't know yet, so I definitely think it's going to affect them on the floor.
Now, buy or sell three. Bill, your Los Angeles Lakers.
We're treating this season like we have a chip on our shoulder. We're the underdogs. Obviously, the world is looking to see what we do.
You know, there's definitely a chip on my shoulder, a chip on our shoulder. And, you know, just wearing this uniform is unacceptable. Just unacceptable not to be able to compete for a championship.
Yeah, Russ, you said you're buying into the Lakers. Do you think the Lakers are buying into you? Do you think the Lakers want you here?
I mean, whether that they want me here or not, it doesn't really matter. Honestly, my job is to be a professional, show up to work like I've always done. Thus far, do my job the best way I know how to, and that's it.
Got to tell you, Plaschke, you pull no punch there with the question to Russell Westbrook. What are you buying, what are you selling from what you heard yesterday at Media Day?
Well, I hated to ask the question, but somebody had to ask. It's an obvious question. Does he feel the Lakers want him there? The Lakers are trying to trade him. Russell Westbrook, they're in Russell Westbrook hell right now. It's overshadowed the whole Media Day. Everybody's waiting to see what happens with him. It's a nightmare right now over there.
Specifically on the Lakers saying we're underdogs this year, Anthony Davis and LeBron follow.
Well, they actually are underdogs. There's no talk of championships. There's no talk of playoffs. There's no talk of contention. He's underdogs. You're darn right he is, because nobody thinks they can win, because I don't think they can.
Monica, are the Lakers underdogs?
To embody my Anthony Davis, I'm treating the show like I have the second lowest points, because that's a fact right now on this show. So, yeah, they're underdogs. Are you kidding me?
Israel?
I mean, if Plaschke doesn't think they can win, I'm pretty sure they're underdogs here. But look, I've got eight teams going into this season in their conference that I think are better going in. Don't ask me what eight teams they are, because I could probably only give you three without
looking. All right. And David, I know the Russell Westbrook, Bill's question, Russell, and Russell's existence, the team right now, is what you're focusing on.
Yeah, but I'm also a little worried about Anthony Davis hitting a chip on the shoulder. I wonder if that's going to put him on the injured list or not.
He didn't.
You got jokes, David, but I'm not here for rewarding That. Going the wrong way. David Dennis Jr., Israel Gutierrez, Flashkey, and McNutt in showdown next.
All right.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bill Plaschke, Monica McNutt, good luck in showdown. Aaron Judge stuck at 60. It's been six games, a whole lot of doubles, a whole lot of walks, some strikeouts, at least four flyouts where people got on their feet thinking it was gone, but it wasn't. Bill, do you think this is the attention and pressure of it all getting to Judge?
No, I think he's doing just fine. Since his last home run, he's got a 9.43 OPS. He's hitting great. He's seeing the ball great. He's going to get that home run.
McNutt?
I think he'll get it. He has the career high in terms of home runs versus the Blue Jays. They're on the schedule, and he's at 9 against the Orioles. They're on the schedule as well.
You really look at the schedule, Monica McNutt. You are a disciple of Woody Page on this here show. We'll split the point. We'll move on. 3 weeks ago, Ken Dorsey.
Yeah, well, I'm not I'd like to think I'm not too much of a psychopath.
Sunday, Ken Dorsey. And now, Ken Dorsey.
It's something I'm going to learn from and make sure, you know, it's a correct move forward.
Does he need to learn from him, Monica? What did he learn? What did you learn today about Ken Dorsey?
Well, the only thing he learned was to put something in front of the camera first. Otherwise, no, don't change a bit, Ken Dorsey. Let us see it.
Mm-hmm. Bill?
When's the hand? I want to see the hand have a press conference. The hand was as big as Ken Dorsey was. Ken Dorsey needs to keep doing it. Everybody loved it. Everybody's inspired by it. Keep doing it.
Let him see it. Let the world see it. Monica McNutt, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Despite a former Baylor head coach being in the headlines for showing that she's heartless regarding the Brittany Griner case, there is another former Baylor women's basketball player that I want to bring your attention to. Her name is Akira DaCosta, and there was an incredible story in the San Francisco Chronicle last week about her experience being sex trafficked. This was a woman that was a McDonald's All-American that won a championship as a freshman at Baylor. Now she's on the brink of getting back to her basketball career and hopes to be in the WNBA so that she can raise awareness about this very, very important issue. Best of luck to you, Akira.
Incredible story. Thank you.
Very good. Great story.
25 million people worldwide sex trafficked. DaCosta saying, this is how I take my power back.